Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Matthew, Christian, and Patrick. We're all here because we all share one thing in common, and that's the interest of paranormal. And so this is Bump in the Night. Bump in the Night Paranormal Radio or Bump in the Night? I mean, it's not really an intro. We don't have an intro yet. This is the first episode.
Bump in the Night Paranormal Radio.
Yeah. Okay, so Bump in the Night Paranormal Radio.
Sounds good.
And we're pretty much just here to talk about the unknown, and it's not just ghosts and stuff like that, it's anything paranormal. So if there's anything that if you are listening and want to hear about us talk about later on, we can look into it and get a discussion going on it. So.
Get well versed.
Yes. Today is pretty much just going to be like a rundown of our beliefs, our experiences. We're not going to go into like religious beliefs or anything like that. So that's on its own thing, and we're staying away from that. I guess we'll start with Christian, because Christian, besides me, no offense, Christian besides me seems to have a little bit more knowledge in paranormal, because me and him have had a group, which you're now a part of, Patrick.
I'm excited.
You're excited?
I'm excited.
You're excited? All right, so for those who do know us, Christian and me have been involved with paranormal investigation probably on and off again for like probably almost 2 decades now.
That's been about that.
I feel old. Yeah. It's just a matter of time before we're haunting our own podcast, you know? You should listen to us.
We were
talking about it in the car. Like, we almost died on the way over here.
Oh,
like,
yeah, let's not get into that right now.
So,
it was really, really late.
I guess we'll start with Christian because I pretty much know what Christian believes, but I don't think you've discussed it with Christian, so this will give you an insight on Christian's stuff, and then you'll go after that. Because you know most of mine, he knows most of mine, so. So, Christian, I guess I'll be like an interviewer here to both of you.
Yeah, go right ahead.
What got you into the paranormal other than Ghostbusters?
honestly, the unknown, really. The experiences that I had, as far as like, my aunt always playing horror movies when I was a little kid. So that just got me into thinking on what's really out there. Was scared, of course, until the best thing, just like everything, like Harold Ramis said. I got to see Ghostbusters, and that's what made me into all the paranormal stuff.
Now, really. when you first started as a kid, did you expect it to be like Ghostbusters, or did you kind of... I mean, were you kind of more into a scientific aspect of things? Like, Dan Aykroyd technically really is, but Ghostbusters, it kind of exaggerates things, and they kind of mix and match and make up stuff.
I would have to say probably, I want to say more scientific, because I took the views of, yet again, Ghostbusters because of that, because I liked the science aspect of that they had, even though I knew that obviously, like, you can't really have a proton pack yet, even though they have scientifically proven that you can make such a thing. It's just gonna be too big.
That's like the lightsaber. I know it's kind of off topic, but like the lightsaber, you can have a lightsaber now, except there's no way to stop the beam, so it's just this like it's like, yeah. Where does it stop?
And they have with the lightsaber thing, you actually have like, they have figured out coils, but you're still tied to something producing power.
Mm. Have you had any, like, paranormal experiences yourself that really kind of stand out, that actually made you believe, or maybe that led more to your skepticism as a paranormal investigator?
Well, I wouldn't say I haven't really had, like, major experiences like that. Maybe the one thing that I can think of is when I was in, like, kindergarten, during, like, a Halloween, someone kind of scared me a little bit because they were, you know, like, it was creepy. The mask looked like it could actually move the mouth and crap like that. So, I mean, that's the only thing that I can think of other than the fact that I've always been into it.
So, are you a believer or are you a skeptic? I mean...
I want to say probably a bit of both, to be honest. Like, I do believe there's something out there, feel it, but I haven't, like, other than going on an investigation for the first time.
So basically, I don't even know
how long ago that was.
It's been a while. It was, we really can't talk about it because we were very, very good at keeping our clients secretive. We could talk about one of them that we got to kind of investigate, but we can't really say its name, and we'll get into that. Because it's kind of interesting. We'll eventually post the video, too. I think you know which one I'm talking about. With, like, working in retail, I would never want this incident to happen to me where I haunted a retail store. But, you know, this is probably the only evidence you and me have not been able to debunk that we've actually looked at and dealt with. So you never, like, seen ghosts or anything like that, other than what we've, you know, seen on camera.
What we've seen on camera, stuff out of the corner of your eye, you know, all that jazz. Haven't really seen one physically form in front of me.
Now, when it comes to that kind of stuff, when you investigate, the viewers wouldn't, well, not the viewers, but the listeners wouldn't know what we do. But you, like me, are more into trying to debunk something way more so than prove its existence.
Correct.
And so you're very thorough with your investigative.
Yes, we use the scientific method around here, everybody.
Yes. Mediums, do you believe in mediums, psychics?
I don't really say that's such a tough thing to say. Like, really, I don't really believe in mediums or psychics per se. I want to say there could be some truth to it, but a lot of the ones that you see, especially on TV and stuff like that, aren't really
the cold readers.
Yeah.
So basically, you're a lot like me with the fact that you're very scientific. And I don't know, I'm very, very precise and critical about evidence. Like, if I can prove just the slightest bit of a possibility of it being recreated in any shape or form, and you know this, I will throw it out. It doesn't make, I mean, it could be a real ghost, but if I can find, like, a way, like, oh, this light bouncing off of this and that, and if I can recreate it, I throw it out.
Yeah, we can take, for instance, like, when me and you and our two other friends were around, you and one of our other guys went to hiking in the woods for, I guess, Sasquatch or whatever.
We were going to see if there was anything over in that area. We weren't hunting for Sasquatch. I've never done that. I do want to go on not a hunting trip. I don't want to say hunting. I do want to eventually get into that. We will cover that on the show.
But anyway, where we got that voice saying, help me. And I called you, thinking it was you or our other associate
falling
or calling for help. But then when we heard it play back, it sounded like a cell phone conversation since we recorded it on the cell phone. We couldn't use that.
Yes. So, you and me are very scientific. So, once again, no actual, like, experiences that you can remember actually, like, seeing ghosts or being involved with that or anything like that?
No, not even at the places where we actually caught some good stuff that we cannot share.
Yeah, well, that's actually an unfortunate thing. I'm just going to point this out. If you want to be part of a paranormal group, please take it seriously. There are too many people out there that dick around and mess around and do things that they shouldn't be doing. And we've seen some pretty messed up stuff from people we thought we could trust, and it was just really bad stuff. And it could have cost us reputation, but the problem was with the evidence we had found, because there was so much mayhem going on with the other people just messing around, we couldn't use any of the evidence, because it could have got us in trouble.
And so, we could have probably had more evidence, too, but we're not going to get into that.
So I'm going to now ask Patrick the same questions. What got you into the paranormal? What have you maybe seen or maybe have been through that...
Well, I think the first thing that got me interested in the paranormal was, ironically, the Ouija board.
Okay.
Everybody says, like, not to mess with them. They're bad juju. And that's kind of where my paranormal experiences stem from.
Yeah.
And even when I haven't been using the Ouija board, I still have had several experiences. Like, for example, I've seen an apparition on my back porch when I was home by myself. I've seen another apparition walk in the reflection of my... not the reflection. I'm sorry. In the shadow of, like, my light. Because on the back computer, we used to have, like, you know those... it's like blue, like, headlamps, kind of, that, like, you can move, sort of.
Like a fog lamp, or?
I guess it was a fog lamp, you could say.
Was it an outdoor lighting, or?
No, it was inside.
It was inside?
Yeah. So, the way I had the light set up, it was shining on, like, say, this side of the room. Like, for example, the bulb is here and is lighting up this whole side. And when you stand up, normally you can see, if you stick your hand in front of the light, it forms a shadow.
So like a spotlight. It's focusing like a spotlight.
Yeah, it was focusing like a spotlight, basically. Okay. And I remember standing up, and I remember walking, parallel to the light, but I couldn't see my shadow unless I was directly on top of the...
You had to be within the actual focused beam of light to see any sort of shadow.
Yeah.
Which is understandable. That's how light works. Light doesn't usually... I mean, like, a focused light doesn't usually... I mean, you'll get, like, offshoots, but that one spot is always going to be concentrated. That concentrated spot's always going
to
be more...
Yeah, so I remember standing up, and I remember, like, I went to go, to the bathroom or something, and I remember, like, looking to my left ever so slightly, and I saw a shadow move from my parents' bedroom across the light and into the garage.
Now, did you see any sort of detail when you looked over, or was it just a shadow?
To me, it almost seemed like it was a person.
I mean, did you see, looking at me, you see detail, but when you saw this, was it a shadow, or was it, like, you see what I'm saying? Like, I'm trying to explain this in a way, because what you experienced does actually sound like something that happens quite often in Florida, and a lot of the Native Americans believe in it. It's like, basically, shadow people, they're like watchers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you'll see them. Usually out of the corner of your eye, you'll see what looks like a humanoid form. You can't make out the detail. It's just like a dark shadow of a human.
Mm-hmm.
And is that basically what you had seen, was like a dark shadow of a human? Or, like, did it have, like, physical details? Like,
I mean, I couldn't tell. So I saw it, like, too quickly. But it was, like, quick. Like, it was quick, but not quick enough to where I didn't notice it.
I got you.
Like, I saw it, like, move from one spot to the other. And I didn't.
But it was enough for your mind to be like, that was a human.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. And then I remember, like, after that, I walked past the light and I saw my shadow. As soon as I saw it, I followed suit, like, breaking that little, what do you call it? Beam of light,
I guess
you can say.
Breaking into the, the focusing of the light.
Yeah. And right after I saw that apparition, I moved into the light thinking it was something else. But right after that, I saw my shadow, so I didn't know what else it could have been. Because I saw it right after I went through it, and I saw my shadow behind it. If that makes any sense.
So anything outside of, like... And I forgot to ask you that, too. Anything outside of the realm of, like, ghosts or anything like that would be, you know, anything cryptozoological or anything of those kind of... UFOs? Anything like that?
I believe in UFOs. I would say, I mean... We're one Earth in a really big galaxy. I wouldn't put it past it. There was something outside.
An ever-expanding universe.
Ever-expanding universes that...
Just keeps rapidly moving.
Pretty much, that are endless.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I've seen a few UFOs.
Was it you that was with me on, I think it was New Year's? When those lights were, like, floating? This is the first time I saw, like, I would consider a UFO. And I'd seen it I've seen it several times after. But they were, like... floating globes of, like, light in the sky.
Wasn't New Year's? I thought it was, like, just a random day.
No, you and me did see it on a random day. So I think it was Sean and me that saw it on New Year's. Because I think I pointed out, I was like, those are the fucking lights I saw. Excuse my language. Those are the lights that I saw. And I've seen them since, because I was telling... The weird thing was I was telling my mom about them. And we were driving back from work. And I was talking about them. And I looked up, and they were there again, like, floating around, and, like, formations, and you know, people were like, oh, well, they're Chinese fire lanterns, which it could be possible, except I've never seen those speed up and, you know, go backwards or stop. You know, usually wind has a set pattern. These were, like, moving into formation and stuff like that, doing weird things, and then they just disintegrate. They just disappear.
It's funny. I saw something similar to that in downtown Stewart.
That's crazy, because that's about the direction that they were, actually.
Yeah.
Out towards the airport, technically.
I remember being on the dock, and I saw, like, three distinct, like, balls of light.
What color?
I don't know. They started changing color. They were white at first.
That sounds... Yeah, that's crazy. Because you're pinpointing almost the exact location that we were looking over.
Mm-hmm.
Would have been, like, downtown Stewart, or further a little bit...
I was on the dock when I saw it.
I know, but what I'm saying is, like, we would have seen it as, like... I thought it was over by the airport at first. the fact that you're saying down the sewer, like, that makes sense. That's exact. You're kind of pinpointing her.
Maybe we saw the same exact thing.
That's crazy. And that's the cool thing about paranormal. If anybody is listening and has seen this, comment when this gets posted. Comment if you've seen this in Stuart, Florida, or if you've seen anything very similar. Comment on any paranormal stuff you've had. And with that, I'll get back to Patrick on the fact that, like, once again, was that we were talking about that, the UFOs, and then you believe those exist. Mm-hmm. What, have you seen anything have you seen anything cryptozoological, either of you?
I haven't, no. But, I mean, no. It's always a interest. Pretty much anything supernatural, unknown, is very interesting to me.
Well, I mean, like, as far as ghosts, you believe, but do you believe in things like Bigfoot, or do you believe in things like the Mothman,
I think that there are things out there that, no matter how much scientific evidence there is, there are just some things that we just can't explain. No matter, mm-hmm. Science can only go so far, but at the end of the day, it can only go so far, if that makes any sense.
No, I get what you're saying. Sense. We just haven't caught up with,
you know, we're still discovering stuff out there.
We were able to, prove that time travel, I believe, is possible backwards, but not forwards.
Yep,
we proved string theory. We will get into this eventually, a full episode on this. It's going to be a special.
Yeah,
the Mandela Effect.
Yeah.
I creeped him out with the Mandela Effect, man. He's like, and I made him watch this video. And we were able to, kind of debunk some of them. Mm-hmm. But there's some of them that are just like, what? What the hell?
That's a whole topic for...
Yeah, it's a special. It's a special. But that's pretty much what this is. It's an introduction to where we're going, what we believe in, things like that.
Also be doing live shows, too.
What? It's news to me.
This is news to Senor Matt, but a live podcast on Twitch sometimes we'll probably do as well.
That'd be awesome.
Well, I mean, we're still going to record it to post it for people that can't watch it on Twitch, correct?
Correct.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Yeah, just making sure. I want everybody to be able to listen to this at their leisure.
Just like how we do, how me and you have been doing gaming.
Okay, yeah, the gaming thing, yeah. If this is kind of, this podcast is kind of, and it's not just us jumping on bandwagons or anything like that. We do have backing and proof of what we say and, you know, well, not necessarily proof of the hauntings we've seen, but we have backing and proof on what we have done before and things like that. This isn't just something we're doing. We're not just like a podcast gripping at every subject possible. This, to me, is part of the 8-Bit Family, which is a nerd podcast that I work on with other people, actually including you two sometimes, too.
Mm-hmm.
But this is more of a serious thing compared to that. I don't want anybody to kind of take away from that, that's just what that is, and that's what this is. So if you do come across 8-Bit and then you hear this, or if you come from 8-Bit and hear this, this is not us making fun of people that believe in paranormal or anything like that.
No, we are heavy believers. I mean, skeptics.
I was going to say, I would say heavy. I don't know if I'm a heavy believer. I've had experiences, but I can kind of debunk them in certain ways. So it's, were they real or were they not? And it's all down to personal experiences on that.
Exactly.
Yep. And I've had another experience prior to that one.
Okay.
That I mentioned.
Which
was when I was home by myself, and I wish I had.
Is this the same place that you saw the one?
Yeah.
Why have we not investigated your home, dude?
Or
is this a new home?
The same one.
The one in Stuart?
Yeah, same one. I didn't tell you about my girlfriend's mom's
house. Oh, yes, you did. But, so that was at the same house?
No.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. So these experiences
That house was in Palm City.
Okay.
This incident that I'm explaining now was at my house, the one I live in now.
Okay, so you've had another experience other than this one you're about to tell.
Okay, so I have a motion sensor. Get this. I have a motion sensor light. Oh, man. Gives me chills to think about. I have a motion sensor light on my back porch. And normally, the only way that you could let that... The only way that that motion sensor would go off is if you're either on the porch or you're either very, like, you have to be damn near close to the outside porch. So I remember being by myself, and I think I was in the living room, if I remember correctly, and I was watching TV like any other night, and I noticed that I went to get up to go to the fridge for something, and I noticed that the motion sensor light went off. So me being the first instinct that popped in my mind is, all right, who's outside walking around? Went outside. Nobody was walking around. Stood there for like 15, 20 minutes, just walking around the porch, checking the motion sensor light, seeing the motion sensor light was working properly, and then went back inside, didn't really think much of it. Went back to the kitchen. And then I remember, like, going back to the living room, and all of a sudden the light turned back on, and then it shut back off again. I was like, okay. So I thought, is there, like, somebody out there again that I might have missed? So I remember, like, walking up to the window and looking outside the window to see if there was anybody there. And I couldn't see anybody. That I couldn't really see anybody. Or I just couldn't see anybody. As lit up that the por- as lit as the porch was with that spotlight on, I couldn't see anybody. So I didn't know if it was malfunctioning. I went out to look at the plug again to see if it was in all the way. Checked the sensors again. It looked fine, just as I went out and looked at it the first time. So, as I went back inside, I kind of, like, walked backwards, like, watching it. And it turned back on, and then it turned back off again. I was like, okay. So, I just started, like, trying to ask questions with this, with the motion sensor light. And I remember asking, like, if somebody was here. And it would turn back on for, like, 10 seconds, and then shut back off again.
And that's really weird, because the sensor lights usually have, like, a timer.
Yeah.
To where they go on, they stay on for several minutes, and then they go off.
Yeah, it would turn back on, and then turn back off again. Like...
So that was something, like, pretty much drawing energy, what it sounds like.
Yeah. And then I remember asking, like, why are you here? Or trying to ask, like, yes or no questions. It would kind of, like, turn on, and then it'd be on for the next 15 to 30 seconds, and it'd shut back off again. And then, I don't know why, I remember when I was asking a question in particular that I don't remember the name of because I was too busy trying to figure that stuff out. I remember, like, walking back into the living room, and I was, like, looking out the window and stuff. And as I got to the kitchen, when I was turning around, as I got to the kitchen, the motion sensor light turned on, and in the glass, I saw a figure standing against my back porch door.
Ah.
Like the sliding glass door.
Was it another shadowy figure? Because it seems like two things in the same... Two similar experiences within the same area. Seems like... Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah. I couldn't make out any details, but I knew it looked like a... I mean, I guess you could say shadow person, I guess. I would say a shadow figure.
Okay.
In other words.
So pretty much like very similar to the... other than you saw and explained earlier.
Yeah, but I think there were different... I don't know. I don't know if they were the same entity or different, but I know that... I don't know if this happens... I don't know if it happens to anybody else, but anytime that I go by a light or street light...
It goes off?
Yeah.
Yeah, it does that to me too. There's certain ones that... I don't know what that is, because that's happened to me. It started with my dad, and then it started happening to me and my sister. And it never happened to me before my dad had it started. But I don't know if that's paranormal or what. Like, it's kind of weird, because it does the same thing to me. And it kind of, like, it's like the light just, like, it shut, like, it's like fuse goes out, or, you know, like, it just, it pops, and it just,
and darkness. It's funny that you bring that up, because you know Downtown Stewart, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know the dock?
Yes.
Okay, so, a few weeks ago, the first light... the first light when you turn on the dock is that goes out to the dock.
Yeah.
So I remember riding past it on my roller skates, and it would go off every single time that I passed it. It would go off any time that I was downtown Stewart. As soon as I got on the dock, as soon as I passed that one light in particular, it went off. And this one particular night, it went off, and there happened to be a couple of people that were like sitting. And I kind of, like, went to the light, and it was off, and I was, like, looking at it for a second. I was, like, staring at it, and as I walked back and forth, it didn't go off. And then I remember, like, telling this one girl, I was, like, I don't... This is going to sound like a weird question, but you see that light right there that went off as I went past it? She's, like, yeah. Can you do me a favor? This is going to sound really weird. Can you walk past that light? I want to see if it'll turn on. He's like, it's going to sound really weird, but just bear with me. He's like, okay. So she gets up, and I'm kind of sitting where she was on one of the benches, which is a pretty far distance. And she went past it, and sure enough, it turned off. Or no, not turned off, I'm sorry. It turned back on. I was like, okay, watch this. So... I go past it, as the light's on, and the, as soon as I pass it, it shuts off. And I was like, okay, can you do me a favor? Can you walk past it, like walking, like you're going away from the dock? Like, can you walk past it in the opposite direction? So she walked past it, and it turned on.
That's really strange. It's weird, because I've noticed that with people, like, it's only certain people that affect it, and I don't know why.
Yeah.
I always wanted that. Has that ever happened to you? Like, no?
No.
See? And maybe it lends to, like, the whole aura of belief. I don't really believe in the whole aura thing. I mean, other than what, like, Taps has shown with that weird... when they were talking about... Yes, I'm giving Taps a shout-out. When Taps did that investigation with the thermal camera where they're talking to the guy that was supposedly... or he could supposedly read auras.
Mm.
And Jason's like, can you read my aura? He's like, yeah, I'll try. They had both Jason and this dude on thermal camera. And something from this guy literally came up like a tentacle in the thermal and came down on Jason... And then he's like, I believe right now your aura is a certain color. And I think he was able to read basically like the thermal color that Jason was at that time. It's really, really weird. There's no reason or rhyme to it or explanation for it, but it did happen. And that is, to me, that is paranormal. It's a proof of paranormal. Not necessarily ghosts, not necessarily, you know. It's just a proof that it's outside of the realm of normal behavior for physics. Or normal behavior for anything that goes on in this world. It's the same thing with streetlights. I've had it happen. My dad's had it happen. My sister's had it happen. But people don't believe us. That's a weird thing until they see it happen. There was one time we were coming back from a concert. And we were out by Becker Road. I think it was Becker Road.
Mm-hmm.
In Port St. Lucie. And there's like streetlights out there. And one light went out. I was like, wouldn't it be weird if like all the lights went out just right now. And then they just all went out.
That exact same thing happened to me.
And that's really weird because I can't find an explanation for it. It just happens.
Yep.
And it's not like the lights are just going out on their own because you walk past them and then you turn around and they'll eventually come back on when you're far enough away.
Or have you ever passed a light and have it change a color?
Well, I've had it like dim, but usually it just goes out and it's got that weird like you can kind of see like a little bit of light, but it's not like there. And then it comes back on, like, when I get further down the road.
You know how the streetlights have, like, a yellowish-orange glow to them?
Yeah.
You never had one turn all white?
I can't say that I have.
Yeah,
unless I've just not paid attention to it.
That's happened to me a few times.
I mean, like, I don't know. Some lights are really weird to me. Like, I can see a glow that people can't see.
Another thing is when my mom is on the couch sometimes, the light in my living room will flicker. And my mom would be like, okay, you can stop now. And it would stop.
Huh. I mean, so that's all paranormal. So you've had plenty of experiences to, like, get you into this.
Yeah.
So, I mean, was there a reasoning behind getting into it, other than just your experiences? I mean, was it...
Well, I mean...
Your motive, basically, is what the...
I mean, at first, I mean, me being involved in the paranormal kind of started with the Ouija board.
Yeah,
because I've had numerous experiences.
You know what's weird about that? I am one of these people, and I know a lot of people. I don't necessarily. I lean kind of more skeptic, per se. But I'm still like I still won't mess with a Ouija board just in case. Yeah. Like it's just kind of one of those things. Like even Taps is kind of the same way. It's just like there's a possibility that it's just bullshit. But just in case, don't.
I don't think it's bullshit at all.
Well, I mean I don't know because like. The belief is that you're giving permission for something to basically enter and channel through you to... Which is different from, like, if you provoke. If you provoke something, that's fine. Like, if you're like, go ahead, scratch me. You know, like, oh, your mother smelled of elderberries and, you know, like, stuff like that. And then it's like, oh! Huh?
No, I said your mother was a hamster.
And smelled of elderberries.
Yeah,
exactly. Yes. So, there's things like that. Like, you can provoke, but you're not giving it permission to enter in you. And that's what most people believe that... lean towards the belief of paranormal, or, well, ghosts in this case, or demonic spirits, or as we call them in human spirits. Mm. We don't know if it's demonic. We just know that it's never really... It falls into a category of not shared, like, never having a human form.
I think a spirit can be malevolent without being demonic.
Well, yes, but most... From most... I won't say evidence, but most research gathered leans towards the possibility and more so the fact that anything that can garner enough energy to hurt you in a malevolent way, like I'm not saying like throw things like a poltergeist, but like scratch you or like shove you or leave handprints,
that would be demonic.
Well, I wouldn't say demonic, it's inhuman. For some reason and this has become a thing, because, like, I mean, like, say a dog dies and you see a ghost, that's still considered inhuman. Which is weird. What it is a human spirit, and then it's a very, very broad category, is a spirit that's never been, well, in the possession of a human form. So, you know, it's not like if we died and we were haunting something, if that was possible, we wouldn't be able to, I wouldn't be able to walk up to Christian and be like, smack, you know, like, he wouldn't, if I did, it would take so much energy that I probably wouldn't be able to do anything for a very long time. And the whole thing is, most spirits that, like, fall into that category, they get, the ones that, like, are scratchy and bitey and, like, burny and, like, leave handprints or those kind of things, are generally just labeled as inhuman, but more so around malevolent demonic entities. And that's, but inhuman's like a broad range of different, you know, it can be like anything from a cat and dog or a caterpillar ghost. No, I'm not saying I've seen a caterpillar ghost or they exist. I'm just saying it's in the realm of possibilities, but it falls under that whole thing of an inhuman spirit. And that even includes demons, which is weird because demons have never had a human form. So they're in that broad category.
And I remember you saying that demons will often take the form of either children or the elderly.
For most research, it seems to be that way because the innocence is there, in my belief anyway, the innocence is there to gain a sort of a sense of trust, to gain, and then like the thing of a Ouija board,
yeah,
to gain...
I was about to say something about that.
To
yeah.
gain your trust enough for you to be like, all right, you know what? Maybe I can help you out a little bit more.
Yeah.
So it allows them to gain more ability to manipulate and control you and possibly gain the access to, in really rare situations if they do exist, like when you see exorcisms, that's basically it. A lot of times it'll be like, oh, you know, like, oh, this little girl, she's my friend. Like the Warrens believed in the haunted artifacts and stuff with that the doll, mm-hmm. Annabelle. The real Annabelle was actually a Raggedy Ann doll. It's not what you see in the movies. It looks nothing like that at all. Mm. It was a Raggedy Ann doll. It was about yay big off the ground, which is about 3-4 feet tall.
Yeah.
And these women brought it in their house because they thought it was, like, possessed by this little girl, and it was really friendly at first, and then it started doing this really fucked up shit. I mean, there's no proof that it's actually real, but the Warrens do own the... I forget his name. Something Zaffis. He's the nephew, I believe, of the Warrens.
Mm-hmm.
He now runs their museum. He had a show called Haunted Collector, I think it was called.
Yes, that's what it
and
was.
And I enjoyed his show. I do, like... I mean, the Warrens, I'm not... Warrens kind of seem, like, more into the money aspect of things to me, more so than finding the actual truth or reasoning behind paranormal.
Mm-hmm.
Or the actual existence of it. So I don't really care for them, but... Yeah, so, I mean... For the most part, innocence does play a huge role in trust. And then if it's an older person, you know, generally like, oh, my grandma and grandpa were great people, so this guy must be great. He's being nice to me. He's talking to me, you know. Same thing with little kids. Like, oh, this little girl, this little boy. Like, when you hear about kids having imaginary friends, some believe that that's not really the case at all. That it is either the spirit of...
Or kids are more prone to...
Well, yeah. They're supposedly
like
more
that.
Prone to seeing stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But the weird thing is if you hear a lot of these stories that... Well, it started off as being, oh, my little girl or my little boy talked to this... So you still saw this old man in a room she used to talk to. And I never thought anything of it. I thought it was an imaginary friend. Or she talks to this little kid, this little boy or girl. And, you know, we just never thought anything of it. We just thought it was, you know, just an imaginary friend. And then all that bad stuff starts happening to these families. Like, if you ever watch, like... Paranormal Survivor or Haunted Survivor or whatever, any of those types of shows.
Or the Haunted.
Yeah, it's always haunted. That same scenario. Usually it's them having kids, their kids communicating with something, they just think it's an imaginary friend, and it turns out that they're talking to something that's not exactly what it says it is, and it shows its true form.
Mm-hmm.
That seems to happen a lot. I dealt with a case in Port St. Lucie that kind of could be tied to a certain murderous sheriff's deputy. Actually, and I need to find out if we can investigate that house, if it's still possible. But I guess there's this little boy that her daughter is seeing that isn't very friendly. Was friendly at first, but he's not friendly now. And then she mentioned the fact that the two girls hanging in the closet are more friendly. That was surprising because supposedly two girls were hanged by him in the park that this had happened at. So there's weird things that kind of tie to that. But in that aspect, at first the kid was very kind and nice, and now he's kind of mean. And, you know, so, like, it's possible that it's something a little bit more than what it says it is. And that seems to be the case in a lot of situations. I'm not saying that's always the case, but in a lot of situations, it's either older people or kids that it takes form of, depending on who it's targeting, you know. Mm-hmm. If you're a little bit older in age, it might take the form of an older person because, you know, grandparents, you lost your grandparents, it's there. Mm-hmm. If you're a kid, usually it'll take form. It can take form of both, but usually it's more along the lines of a kid as well because it's easier to manipulate a child as a child than it would be, you know, for an adult to manipulate a child.
Yeah. So I think in the experiences that I've had with the Ouija boards per se, I know that from my experiences, you have to both people need to have at least one hand on the what is it called, a planchette or a pointer, whatever you want to call it.
Otherwise
it's not gonna move by itself. Because the moment it moves by itself, you're not dealing with. I know that if that moves on its own, I'm not dealing with just a normal entity. I'm dealing with something that's far beyond being human.
Yes, because it has the ability to, well, supposedly has the ability to use its energy more so than it should have.
That would
fall, once again, it's a broad category, but that usually falls under an inhuman spirit, so.
Yeah. And I think that,
You had told me, I don't know if it was you or the other two that were involved, once again, were very, with clients, we'll just keep names out of it. But you had come, it gave you a name that you would track down in a cemetery, supposedly?
Supposedly, yeah. I don't remember the name of it, though. That was stupid. That was a bad idea.
But you, I mean, you did, but you went to the cemetery and you found, did you guys, or was it, I can't remember if that was you or them, that said that they had found a gravestone with that name on it, or the cemetery was named after.
The cemetery was named after.
Okay.
And that was
it. And that was who you were supposedly speaking to.
Supposedly.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Anybody out there listening, Ouija boards are bad.
I don't think they're necessarily bad.
If you're giving... I would say it's bad because if it does exist or does... I mean, it's played as a kid's game, and I get that. And it's fun games, but you can...
I would exercise extreme caution, and if you're going to do it on very extreme circumstances. And even then, it's still a
I wouldn't trust anything it ever says to you.
Also, don't make your own, because I hear that's...
The worst thing you can do. And don't burn a Ouija board either. You can't burn a Ouija board.
Well, you can.
You can.
But a lot of people believe that they come back, and there's been situations where they supposedly have, so...
Yeah,
there's also been situations of it making it the situation 20 times worse.
That's what I'm saying, though. Like, as a skeptic, or as I lean more towards skepticism when it comes to investigating, because I've been doing it for so long and really never come across something that I can't necessarily debunk, only a few things, I'm like, nope, not messing with the Ouija board, because there was something similar when I was a kid. It was... I might be wrong on this, maybe because he's in a movie called Pit and the Pendulum, but I swear there was this toy called, and if anybody's listening or does listen to this and knows what toy I'm talking about, I thought it was Vincent Price's Pit and the Pendulum, and it's this, you have this, like, this weird thing that is, it's hanging from a chain that has, like, a point to it, and it sways, and you can also put it on a swing mechanism. You can hang it, and it'll sway by itself.
Yeah.
And it'll sway to, like, letters and stuff like that. You don't touch it. I mean, you can hold it, but you don't touch it. And it'll do it on its own, too. And I messed with those when I was a kid. And, man, I don't know. Some weird shit happened. But then again, I was a kid, so, like, I can't really... Yeah. I can't say, yes, it was haunted or if it was just coincidence. We were doing it on Halloween night. We were testing that in a Ouija board. You know, We did do the Ouija board thing when I was a kid. You know, Parker Brothers toy. We didn't know any better when we were kids. You know. And weird stuff would happen in the neighborhood that we were in, especially. I don't know if you've ever seen the show Eerie Indiana or heard of the show Eerie Indiana. That's basically the neighborhood I kind of lived in, man. There was weird stuff happening in our neighborhood all the time. It was Indian River Estates. And there's still, to this day, always strange stuff coming out of that neighborhood, like story-wise. I mean, The supposed skunk ape's been seen there by plenty of people, which is another cryptozoological thing, which I have seen. I have seen what I believe is the skunk ape, and it was kind of a weird thing as a kid, you know? So, there's a lot of stuff out there, and,
I think what we can't explain, we try to justify with, as much science as we can. Like, what we can't explain, we try to justify with whatever, scientific knowledge that we know, but in, even then, there's only so much that science can really explain.
At this point in time, yes.
Yeah, you're going to believe what you... In the end, you're going to believe what you're going to believe. It's really all it is, no matter what...
I guess that's true, because you can take a real skeptic, and you could show them an actual ghost in a cemetery with a name tag on. See-through and all, next to the cemetery, or next to the gravesite of that person, holding a sign like, I am this person, I am dead, I am a ghost, boo, and like haunting you. Like, I can come to your house and haunt you right now. And even if it could channel itself to that person's location, it's been like, oh, no, I still don't believe it.
Did I tell you the paranormal investigation I went when I was in Gettysburg?
No, you told me about the tour you went on in New Orleans. But you didn't tell me about the one in Gettysburg, I don't think.
Yeah. So, gives me chills. I'm big on the Civil War. I should be like a scholar on the Civil War. It was by far the bloodiest conflict in North American history. Matter of fact, North American soil.
You think so over Revolutionary War? I mean,
yeah, because so many people died in those 3 days at Gettysburg than any other time in the whole Civil War. There was more casualties on that battle in those 3 days, July 1st, 2nd, and 3rd of 1863, than there were the entire Civil War.
Well, I've known people that have been to Gettysburg and have said that, like, even if they don't, these people didn't believe in ghosts, but they had said that, like, there is a weird energy being on those battlefields that you just can't, like,
yeah.
It's like a heaviness that just wears on you, and you don't know why. You just feel like you could be, like, super happy and excited and walk onto these battlefields, and just all of a sudden you're crying for no reason. You're crying.
It's true. If you go to some of the battles like the Wheatfield or Pickett's Charge, where roughly like 500,000 people were killed, like gunned down in like lines from like canister fire or a musket fire on on one of the planks on the Emmitsburg Road, across from one of the battlefields, on one of the fence posts, they counted 836 holes, all from musket fire.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that was from a firing line. That wasn't like during the war. That was those guys lined up.
That was pretty much.
Yeah.
It was a lot. It's probably one of the most, if not in the top five most haunted places in the United States.
Well, I remember
just
like,
because of all the bloodshed.
I remember one story that kind of made me laugh. That this lady that lives in that area with her truck, she stopped by this park thing and she was picking up hitchhikers that were part of the reenactment because she was like she was taking them to get food and stuff throughout the day at like local restaurants.
And disappeared.
And she got to the restaurant. She's like, "All right, guys," and then there was nobody there in the back of her truck. And she's like, "That was the weirdest experience to me. I thought they were like." Reenactors, because that they were reenacting, and this seems to happen a lot too with the reenactments that occur. People will be like alongside people having conversation with what they think is just reenactors, and it's supposedly not anybody that they see later on in the day or like are even a reenactor. So who are they? Like that'd be kind of creepy, man. You're reenacting, you make a friend, that friend's not reenacting.
it's funny because of all the casualties in the American Civil War. There was only one civilian casualty in that whole war. Oh, so of all the casualties in the American Civil War, there was only one civilian casualty. Just one.
It was I knew who you were talking about, too.
Yeah,
it was
Mary Virginia Jenny Wayne.
She was a teenager that was taking care of the soldiers. She was helping both sides,
yep.
And she got shot through a door by accident.
Yep.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Ghost Adventures dealt with that. And as much as I'm not really... I don't know if I'm like... it's a hit or miss with Ghost Adventures. But they supposed... The main character, supposedly, I think, got his ass smacked by her, like, jokingly. He's like,
he got his ass grabbed.
Yeah.
Did someone touch my butt?
He touched Come at me, bro! Touch my butt, bro! So, I mean, I thought that was kind of interesting, because he was, like, egging her on jokingly, you know, like hey, flirting.
Hey, grab my ass.
Okay. And something grabbed his ass, like, you think I'm cute? I'll be like, well,
how... Something grabbed my ass. Ugh. What was it?
So, as far as Gettysburg, which we'll probably let you get into more on another episode, so you went there and, like, what did you have any experiences while at Gettysburg?
On one of the battlefields, it's funny that you mentioned that. On one of the battlefields, particularly the wheat field, I found that of all the battles in of all the battles that took place at Gettysburg, the one that struck out the most to me that I found interesting was the wheat field, only because of all the conflicts in Gettysburg, that was the most bloodiest, because you had about maybe between upwards of 2,000 to 6,000 people dying a day at that battlefield alone. You had literally people just fighting over fallen comrades.
With brothers and sisters and friends. I mean,
that's why it was called the war that separated families. It tore families apart. You have families that fought in the Union and the Confederacy.
The messed up thing was, is sometimes you didn't have a choice.
Yeah.
Like, you could still have the same beliefs as your brother, but if he got drafted to one side, you got drafted to the other. Sayonara, buddy.
Yep. There were kids as young as like 11 to 12 that would fake their age and put it in their shoe. So if they came up and said, "Oh, how old are you?" they whipped out the sheet of paper and put it on, and they were signed up in the military. Just for the infantry or the cavalry.
It's just like the draft, though, you know, like, it's a lot of things people don't understand about the draft. It wasn't just, sadly enough, it wasn't just like white folks drafted, you know, it was like people sending slaves to fight for the South in their place, which is like, wow, can you be any shittier of a person? Like, you're going to send the slave to fight for your rich ass. That's wonderful. And it's more political thing, but I mean, it does lead to, like, the energy in those areas is so, like, potent with such negative, like, like, anywhere you go that deals with the Civil War, it seems to have that same effect on people. It's just super heavy, dense, like, you want to be there for historical purposes, but you don't want to be there because it just feels so off. Like, if you go to those places where people, like, you have places that had so many people on both sides come in there and get legs amputated, they were dropping out second-story windows, and there was piles high up to that second-story window of body parts. Yep. Now, what do you think that does? If paranormal is real, what happens with all that negative energy? It sits there, and it focuses, and not to mention, if there's limestone and stuff in that area, you get the residual haunts, but there's a lot of intelligent haunts in those areas, too, which just crazy, crazy amounts of negative energy. And I'm surprised there's not a lot of malevolent activity in those areas that I've read about. I'm sure there are, but it's not, that negative energy, like, to me, would have some sort of, like, malevolent entity or entities roaming that area, feeding off that negativity, because that's supposedly what they do, is they feed off that negative energy. Yeah. Do you have something to say?
No, if I say something, it's going to pertain to something that I kind of want to stay away.
It depends. I mean, like,
it kind of goes to a movie.
Oh.
That's fine. I mean, as long as it's not, like, making fun of paranormal or
making
jokes about it.
It's similar to, like,
I think I know what you're going to reference. The slime?
Yes, the slime in Ghostbusters
2. Well, that's kind of where that theory comes from, is that negativity concentrates into something really pure evil. And that's a lot of things, when you hear about, like, the Jersey Devil and stuff, is based on a supposed real story that has so much negative stuff behind it that occurred to this one lady and her kids. And, you know, like, you don't know what happened to her for real. You don't know, like, if it's true, she killed her kids or whatever, believed it actually happened. Nobody seems to know what the story really was. And if that's the case, yeah, there could be something really malevolent there, because it does. It supposedly feeds on negative energy. Like, I can't say if that's true or not, because once again, I lean more towards skeptic, but with research and stuff, that seems to be the case with, like, you go to the Tower of London, there is a lot of evil shit in there, supposedly, because a lot of evil shit's gone down there.
Oh, yeah.
Jack the Ripper, if you go to, like, Ripper Street and stuff like that, supposedly there's people haunting that area, because, you know, you had a guy running around in this one street, hacking people up, so yeah, negativity.
I mean, places that have been, plagued for, not plagues, I'll use plagued.
Yeah.
Places that have been plagued with horrific events like that, like murder, like places like Gettysburg and stuff, like Gettysburg or Tower of London, I think they hold so much energy is because they're, well, number one,
it's released so rapidly there's nowhere for it to go.
Yeah, that too. And there was so much bloodshed, in other words, that it's basically not cursed, but it's like, it's like, yeah, you said, it's, no, it's, same,
it's tainted. It's,
yeah.
Tainted. I mean, my first actual paranormal investigation was more so of an experiment. In Fort Pierce, there was this house by the turnpike that supposedly had a murder happen in it.
Are you talking about the Riddle House?
No, the Riddle House is in Palm Beach. I've been there too. I had an experience there during the fair one year where we were inside and we thought there was other people inside and we were in the kitchen and there was nobody here before us or after us. Like, we thought there were, but there wasn't. Because apparently people don't like history there. They just wanted to be there for the fair. The kitchen door to the outside, I think it's like the back patio, fucking opened. And then I'm like, okay, somebody stepped on a piece of wood here. Because it's an old house. Somebody stepped on like a plank here and it opened the door. Like, so we're sitting there like walking through the kitchen, like kind of not stomping too hard. Like, the curator lady comes and is like, what are you guys doing? I'm like, that door just opened by itself. There's nobody before us, nobody after us. There's no reason that door should have opened and closed on its own. Sitting there trying to figure it out. She's like, oh, that happens sometimes. Like, oh, it's happened to other people? Oh, yeah, all the time. Just like footsteps going up and down the stairs, which we thought we heard. That house is pretty creepy. There's supposedly evil shit in that house, too, actually, up in the attic.
The male spirit doesn't like guys.
Yeah, we weren't allowed up in the attic, so.
Well, yeah, that's why.
Well, I mean, like, even then, it was part of a tour. We weren't there for, like, paranormal. But there's this house in Fort Pierce that got demolished. Supposedly, this guy shot his wife and, I believe, his daughter. Killed the daughter. There was what looked like dried brain matter on the wall still when I used to go there. We found spent shotgun shells in the bathroom, which was weird enough because he supposedly shot her with a shotgun. The wife supposedly survived. Daughter died. He's now in prison up somewhere near the Orlando area. Now, this is stuff that was just legend. I wasn't able to, like, pinpoint too much. I tried to contact the family that owned the house because I found envelopes in the guest house. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't sell us the house. Like, I was trying to, because this is an old house. It had dade pine on the floor. And this is, like, an old, old house, probably, like, early 1900s. So I tried to, like, I was like, well, can we, like, you know, maybe get the place, like, up and running again as, like, a tourist thing? You know, like a museum for that time period, because it was one of the oldest houses in Fort Pierce. They wouldn't sell us the house. They said that, they wouldn't give us a reason why. They said that if they sold us the land around the house, which was for sale, they would have the house demolished before we bought the land, before the deed went through. They did just that with whoever bought the land. They came in there with a crew, tore down the house. Now, this is where my experiment comes into play. The first time I went there, for some reason, I had this overwhelming sadness. I have no idea why, but as soon as I got taken there by friends and we pulled up in that driveway, I broke down in tears. And I'm not a scared person by nature. It wasn't fear that I started crying. I felt something in my chest that it felt like something squeezing my heart. Couldn't explain it. So, like, alright. So, every time after that, I was fine. Like, it kind of dissipated and stopped doing that. And there was some weird stuff going on in the house. There was an incident where a claw bathtub, which I'm not even sure how they put it in the house, somehow ended up outside the house, falling from the second story, and landing on the ground and shattering all over the place. And then there's other stuff that occurred. You know, broken, like, windows would break outward, not inward. You know, like, something punched outward. But there's, you know, we're inside the house. So, like, all this weird stuff would happen there. You'd take cameras in there, fresh batteries, like that, it was done. Couldn't use it. Couldn't use light, flashlights. Flashlights wouldn't work. You could take pictures in certain rooms of the house. It'd just be a black. You take the picture and you look at it later, it was black. Nothing there. Just black. So I would start taking people there. I took my dad there. I took my stepmother there. I took my sister there, my girlfriend at the time. Everybody had the same experience. As soon as we pulled up in that driveway, for some reason, just they get out of the car, look at the place, don't have any. I never told them what was going on there or what might have happened there or what supposedly occurred. Just sadness, just tears, or just like depression. Just no reason for it at all. We could be so excited. I'm like, to my friends, I'm like, let's go to a haunted house. You want to go to a haunted house? Yeah, I'm down. All excited. Get there. Sadness. I don't want to be here anymore. I don't want to go inside.
Complete misery.
Just this, there was this overwhelming funk to it that just, and I stayed there for a week because I ended up kind of homeless and that was the only place I could think of going. And there was weird shit that would happen all the time. Like, you'd hear like things like rocking. It's like a rocking chair outside, even though there's no rocking chair. You'd hear people, you know, running around the house. You'd hear kids' voices and stuff like that. You'd hear whistling, you know. I got shoved down a flight of stairs.
I was kind of drunk then, so I, once again, everything I seem to have happened personally that's physically to me, I can kind of maybe possibly debunk. So I can't really say that's what happened. But I was walking down this flight of stairs, and I may have just, like, stepped wrong on a step, but it did. It felt like something shoved me on the back, and I flew forward. I was running down the stairs trying to catch my grip. And now, the weird thing about the staircase is there was no guardrail, and it didn't even look like there was a spot for a guardrail. It led down. It looked like an entry, like a service stairway into the kitchen from upstairs near the main master bedroom. And I think that's what it was. It was like a service entrance. Mm-hmm. I don't think it was like a normal staircase, because when you walked in the front door, there was this huge like staircase that went up and then like kind of went around the top. Like it went up, you know, like those old houses, like the old plantation houses, that main stairway up to the second. So this had that, but in the kitchen it's had this really like skinny stairway that kind of went downstairs and into the kitchen. So I'm running down this trying to catch my footing, and I smack right into the wall, turn around and fall backwards onto this pile of broken glass, and I'm like afraid to move because I'm like, if I get up, I'm gonna be bleeding. Like I just landed on a pile of glass, like, and I'm like sitting there like kind of freaking out, like somebody else is in this house, like I need to get up and go. Like I felt like threatened, and I'm like, I gotta get up. But my mind was just like, don't get up. If you get up, something bad's going to happen. Don't get up. But I had to, I felt like I was being like held down by my own mind. If that makes sense. Like I was just afraid to get up, and I didn't want to get up because I'm afraid if I get up, I'm gonna see somebody coming down the stairs at me. So like after laying there for 5 minutes, waiting for somebody coming down the stairs or coming around, I'm keeping this like, you know, I'm keeping every option open to my eyes just to make sure that like I'm alone. I finally get up and like there's nobody in the house. It's just me. I'm not bleeding. I had a few cuts on my arms, but I'm not like bleeding bad. You know, like it wasn't as bad as I thought it was gonna be. And I was a little buzzed, so I don't know if it was just me, but it did feel like I got shelved. It didn't feel like just me like like, and I did. I felt stumble. This felt like I was being threatened. Like something did not want me there and was trying to get rid of me. And you know, and I would hear like, and I mean footsteps. I mean like angry footsteps. Like you heard them. It was like
stomping.
Yeah, like something mad coming at you. And I would literally like, I would sit next to the crawl spaces and stuff, and I'd sit watching the doors because most of the rooms had one entry and one entry alone. The weird thing was, is the main bedroom had an entry into the nursery, but there was no exit out of the nursery. It was just that one door. It went into the master bedroom and then nursery.
Have you ever had an incident where if you like step through a doorway, or if you were like in a doorway of some sort, you feel something like pass through you?
Yeah, there's actually a it goes along with that wedding thing. It kind of ties into that. There's a lot of superstition about doorways. That's why, like, when you get married on your honeymoon night, you're supposed to carry your wife across the threshold. There is a lot of, like, belief in something about doorways, that it's not just a physical doorway. Like, that doorway is always there no matter what, and both good and bad can pass through it, if you kind of understand what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, it's like an energy thing. I don't know. There's always been a superstition about doorways. But this I did have that. Like, I would sit there and watch these doorways. I'd sit by the crawl spaces. I'd keep them closed. Never open those crawls. I mean, I've opened them, but when I was there alone, never opened those crawl spaces. That just something weird about it. There was a built-in toy chest, like, out of the wall. You know, like a toy chest.
Yeah.
When you opened it, there was little kids' handprints pressing up. Not opening it. Not like this. But, like, two together, like, pressing up and then, like, scratching kind of. Like, there weren't scratch marks, but, like, the handprints were, like, kids' handprints. And they were, like, sliding. Like, and if you're going to fake that, you have to be really good. First of all, you'd have to bring a little kid.
Mm-hmm.
Which, wow, you're a horrible parent if you're taking a kid to this house and they're like, get the toy chest and go like this. Like, you're not going to do that. So, this house is creepy. And then on top of that, where the kid was supposedly shot, there was this mural painted of Pooh and Eeyore, and there was what looked like dried brain matter on the fucking wall, and it was about the height of where a kid's head would be, just, you know, slightly up.
Yeah.
I loved that house, but in a way I hated that house. Like, I loved the way the house was built, the way it looked.
But there was something about it.
But there was something about it that just felt so dark and evil. And the weird thing is that whole area, there's an area that also deals with the paranormal in that area. Across the street, there was my friend used to live kind of close to that house, and like a little ways down the road. It's out by the turnpike in Fort Pierce. You know where we used to go to Arby's?
Yeah.
A little bit further down that main road. Mm-hmm. It was past the turnpike. It was right there. It was overgrown in the woods. There's another abandoned house out there, too, I have not been to. But they used to stay at a house that was out there, too, and they would watch across the road. And they were, during a hurricane, they had nowhere to go. So they were staying there. They were sitting on the front porch because, you know, Floridians, we do that. Mm-hmm. The hurricane's not bad enough. We're outside drinking, like, another waste of a day. And then, like, they're watching these armed military guards staying in this hurricane, patrolling in this hurricane on foot in vehicle. Okay, so that's weird enough because this is Fort Pierce. There's no reason for military guards to be in Fort Pierce, especially in a place where there's supposedly nothing. Mm-hmm. Well, one day they're like, well, let's go out there since the hurricane's happening and they're obviously not going to be everywhere at once. Let's find the most vulnerable location and go out there and see what's going on. So they get in their truck, they go out there. They come across National Geographic. Yes, they come across National Geographic. They're out there trying to figure out what's going on. National Geographic has a truck, you know, because it's National Geographic. So their SUV is stuck in mud. Mm-hmm. So they help them out by giving the winch and getting them out of the mud. Well, why are you guys out here? Like, why is National Geographic in Fort Pierce out here in the middle of nowhere in like the cow farming area? Why are you guys out here? I don't know. We got a tip that something weird was going on out here. So we came to investigate, but the military wouldn't let us in. Well, why is there military? We don't know.
That was during a hurricane.
This was during a hurricane. They were out there patrolling.
Was this the previous hurricane?
No, this is like years ago, dude.
Oh.
No, okay. This was back when I was like 18 when they told me this story.
Because I remember, because it's funny that you bring that up, but I remember that being from the previous hurricane. We're getting off track. Well, that's
still paranormal.
I mean, would you consider?
I
would consider it paranormal.
But here's the thing. Before this happened with this military thing, guess what people kept seeing out there? UFOs. Now, if you go back on the story of why this dude in the 80s supposedly shot his daughter and kid, or his daughter and wife.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He heard voices.
Yep.
Now, gee, I don't know. Every time I hear somebody about hearing voices, which brings up the Amityville thing, I was like, right away, that's like bullshit story. So that could be wrong. But if he did hear voices and snapped and killed his daughter and shot his wife.
And he killed his daughter, killed his wife, and turned the gun on himself?
No.
Oh.
He's in prison, like I said.
Okay.
Up near the Orlando area, supposedly. Okay. This is, like I said, I can't find much on this house. My dad looked it up. You know, my dad, has certain lookup skills because of what he used to do for a living.
Mm-hmm.
That house supposedly was demolished and does not exist. When, in fact, me and him were just there the day before he started researching it.
It sounds like a cover-up.
It sounds like a cover-up, okay? But here's a weird thing. Supposedly, my friend went there. He called me. He's like, after one of the hurricanes, Matt, I don't know how to tell you this, but there's a huge fuck. You know that tree that's outside the house? Yeah. So there's a huge tree outside the front of the house. It's now through the roof and in the living room. And he had no reason to lie to me about it. It wasn't like trying to get a rise out of me. I'm like, dude, that sucks. Because we used to go there, you know? Like, we used to hang out there and stuff. He's like, yeah, there's a huge tree, like, laying in the, you know? So I'm like, all right, whatever. It's like, so we can't go back out there anymore. So, like, a couple weeks later, I'm like, we should go check out that house and see, like, you know, like, maybe we can get that tree out of the house. There's no tree. There's no damage to the roof. There's no water damage to the floor. So the weird thing is, up until the last time the house got demolished, supposedly it had been demolished several times.
Mm-hmm.
And was still there. So this, like, once again, this is all, like, just weird shit that I was able to research. I can't really prove any of it. But it is. It's a weird thing. And I've been there. I've been to that house. People have been to that house. Very strange shit happened all the time there. It wasn't like, maybe something will happen. Like, if you were there, something happened. Everybody had an experience. Everybody had a reason. I had friends become obsessed with the house. My girlfriend's sister went there daily to take pictures. And she had an obsession with the house. Like, she would post them on MySpace. Like, day 31 of blah, blah, blah. Felt the need to go back out to the house. It's just, there was something about this house. People became obsessed with it. They had depression because of it. There would be friends I would know that would, like, be able to sketch the innards of the house that had gone there less than I have. And would be able to sketch the innards of certain rooms of the house. Like, to a perfect T. I'm like, that's kind of weird, man. So, I don't know, man. I saw it. Like, I had to draw it. I'm like, that's the upstairs bedroom in that house I took you to. Well, why do I know it so well? It's weird. but it's gone now.
So yeah, I was about to say.
Unless it came back. Unless it somehow came back.
Yeah, I was about to say a house that was demolished, and then it came back.
Demolished apparently in the '80s after it happened. Then the family I did talk to told me they would demolish it, so I was like, okay. And then the hurricane, the tree supposedly fell on it, and then my dad found out it supposedly doesn't exist. Then it was finally demolished. I watched them demolish it the last time. I was like, making sure. I'm making sure. So they demolished it, which kind of sucks because they just threw the wood out. Now, I know this isn't paranormal, but if you know anything about the history of this area, date pine is an extinct wood now. Date pine is worth a ton of money. Mm-hmm. Like, you can get date pine now, but it's not date pine.
It's not genuine.
No.
It's not genuine.
So they used it so much because it was so durable, and that's why there was probably no water damage to the floor or anything. It was so durable that, it lasted forever. This house was laced with it, and as far as, a standpoint in my mind with money-wise, I was like, they threw that out? They just tore it up and threw it out. Do you know how much money you could have made off of the flooring alone in that house? Two stories, and whatever the frame was made out of was probably also date pine. Just chucked it out.
Flick.
Yeah, oh yeah, just put it in the dumpster there.
Oh, rare wood. We can get more of that.
But there's literally not a day that goes by that I don't think about that house. And it's still, to this day, I've had dreams about that house, and there's no reason for me to. Just, it seems to happen. I don't know what it is about that house, but it was an amazing house. Even though something tragic happened there, you loved it, but you hated it. Like, if it was true that he did do what he did there, it's a horrible tragedy. I mean, something did happen there. I don't know what exactly got shot, but something did occur there because there was what looked like brain matter on the wall. And like I said, I've never seen kids' handprints looking like they're trying to get out of a fucking toy chest. So, I don't know.
What is it about... See, the thing is, what is it about tragedy that gives the paranormal such... that's what I'm looking for.
Energy?
I guess you could say energy. I get that, tragic stuff happens... But it's I'm trying to come up with the words, but I
think it's because as humans, we subliminally and subconsciously feel negative energy more so than we feel positive energy. Hence the reason, when you become depressed, it's harder to get out of depression than it is to, make yourself depressed while you're happy, if you get what I'm saying. It's easier to be more negative. Negativity is a much more potent energy than positive. Think of people who, comedians. Think of all the comedians that have committed suicide and, all the musicians that have committed suicide. Now, where do those people spend most of the time? With comedians, you think it's on a happy place, in a happy place. But it's really not, you know? And then with musicians, where do they spend most of their time to write their music? And a lot of times, when it comes down to suicide, I don't want to say Kurt Cobain because I believe other things happen, but Kurt Cobain, Chester, the guy from Soundgarden,
Chris
Cornell. Well, Amy Winehouse overdosed, so I can't really count that. Oh no, she died. She died of trying to quit alcohol, actually.
Yeah,
her heart stopped. If you become like a super addicted alcoholic, your heart stops when you try. You could stop when you try to quit. And then Robin Williams, man, he seemed happy, but obviously he wasn't. But that's the thing. If you look at musicians, most of these musicians, what are most of their songs? Especially Nirvana, Soundgarden, and Linkin Park. They were happy songs. I mean, even Nirvana's songs that were happy. If you listen to the lyrics and delved into what it was not happy. And that's the thing. A lot of artists do the same thing. So Vincent van Gogh killed himself. But, now they're finding out that he might have actually been shot by his gay lover. Not making that up. They used to play Cowboys and Indians. He used to play Cowboys and Indians with this boy. And they had this gun, supposedly. And this gun never fired, but it went off. And it shot him in the sternum or some shit. A lot of artists that supposedly commit suicide too. Ernest Hemingway, man. Ernest Hemingway, his stories, where if you read some of his stories, they might seem happy, but if you read Old Man in the Sea, that was a very depressing story. Mm-hmm. This dude's out there on his own, he's old, he's fishing, he gets the fucking catch of his life, he's pulling it in by himself, and then what happens? He loses energy fighting with this thing, and what happens? All the shit that's around him starts picking at it. By the time he gets back, there's nothing left. Nobody believes the dude. So it is. The artists always live in that depressing state of mind. And I think that's what it is negativity is a more potent energy it can be used for good things, if that makes sense. But at the same time, it does lead to a lot of bad things as well.
Right.
I agree with that. And you also, and one of the other things is you also learn from your dark days, too. Some people don't, some do.
Yeah. Like, but I mean, it all ties into, like, paranormal stuff, like, especially with energy. Energy seems to be a huge thing for, like, spirits and things to feed on. I mean, even then, like, you do have paranormal cryptozoological creatures that supposedly feed on energy and stuff like that. So, like, you know, energy's a huge thing in the paranormal world. The Bermuda Triangle is apparently, it's all negative energy in that area. And, like, so many people have died there. Like, it's causing, you know.
Or gone missing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, hell, they found a fleet of planes there that they thought was one fleet of planes that went missing while flying over the Bermuda Triangle. And they matched the serial numbers, but not to that fleet of planes. They matched that fleet of planes' serial numbers to the ones that went off missing in the Pacific. Now, how does a fleet of planes go missing in the Pacific and end up being found at the bottom of the Bermuda Triangle? And then the ones that they thought they were find, or that did go down in the Bermuda Triangle, the ones they were looking for, they never found. So where are those? So much weird shit in that area, too. It's like but energy's always tied to all that stuff. But paranormal's always tied to energy. Even, like, space stuff, you know? Like,
that's like a story I was reading. I forgot what the ship was, but their ship, like, ran aground and they started sinking. And they all got into, they were rescued by another ship, and the ship started sinking. And when they were drifting on another ship, I forget the name of it, they supposedly saw their, sunken ship coming at them, when really what had happened was that ship wound up sinking, because it crashed into that other ghost ship, supposedly. What had happened was the ship that sunk aground, that ran aground and sunk, it had salt in it. And when all the salt was dissolving in the cargo bay of the ship, it created buoyancy. And the ship actually came up as the salt was dissolving, in other words. I don't know the scientific method for it. A little bit of it. Well, but
the salt's a very buoyant thing. Let me look at it. You can supposedly walk on the Salt Lake, the Great Salt Lake in Utah, like...
You it's can float point. Right?
Yeah, you can, like, lay on it and just float across it. Like, it's same thing with the Dead Sea. Like, you can't sink anything in the Dead Sea because it's just so salt. So much salt that it's just... It's so buoyant because that's what salt does. It creates buoyancy.
Well, anyways...
It's a chemical reaction, basically.
Yeah, the ship wound up going up and it circled back and actually collided into the ship.
That's not paranormal. Being in the wrong place at the wrong time scientifically. Like, yeah, God,
it brings up how certain people can see ships that have supposedly been sunk.
Well, it's possible, because think about it. I mean, there's people that have abandoned ships thinking they're sinking, and then, like, decades later, they find these ships. Like, in Korea, there were ships that washed up on North Korean shore, or South Korean shore from North Korea, that had been missing for years. Mm-hmm. And they just show up.
You know what the most haunted battleship is?
The Lexington. I was going to say Virginia.
That too.
But the energy thing, and this is kind of... there's people that believe this lady is cursed. I don't know if this is actually true or just like an old urban legend. A lady that was on the Titanic supposedly was on another ship that was like a sister ship of the Titanic
Olympia.
And then was on the third sister ship of the Titanic, which also sank.
That's
true. And they were saved by... some of the same ships at one point or something. Like, people believe she was cursed because of this. I'm like, nah, she's a terrorist. Come on, have one woman she on survives, three ships that sank.
She survives three shipwrecks and all of a sudden she's a terrorist.
Well, come on, man, they're all built the same.
Normally terrorists go down in flames with their supposed
proclaims. Dude, this is back then, man. She could have been like a spy. She'd been covert operations.
Well, when she went to do that, did she say Allahu Akbar?
No, because this is before that.
Okay. You know,
like, there's different forms of terrorism, buddy.
That's true, too, yeah. Like, domestic.
She was probably like a spy for Britain. Like, we don't want those Brits going to New York. That ship can't get to New York.
Iceberg? What?
What's an iceberg? I don't know what that is. But there's negativity to everything, man. Like, you know what's weird, though? Like, I always wondered this. Like, is that iceberg still floating out there? Like,
I wouldn't be surprised.
Like, is there a way to, like, pinpoint that iceberg? Like, could you find, like, paint scrapage? Like,
I mean, if you want to go the route that the Titanic was traveling back then and be like, yes, that's the iceberg from 1916.
Well, eventually we're going to be able to do that because there's a guy that's the same. I just think this guy's a crazy nutjob.
Oh, Titanic 2?
Yeah, the Titanic 2, but he's also the same guy trying to make, like, a real Jurassic Park. So,
oh, God.
Yeah, so I don't know if this guy's actually going to come through. He's a multi-billionaire, but I don't know if he'll actually come through with any of this stuff. But, yeah, he wants to build the Titanic and do the same exact route. I'm like,
why do you want to?
That sounds like a terrible idea, but that comes with the negativity, though. In my mind, the negative energy is so powerful. Like, I'd be too superstitious to get on that ship, and I'm not superstitious. It's just, I know what happened the first time.
Wait, but is he wanting to leave the exact anniversary that the Titanic took off?
Wouldn't matter, man. You do the exact same thing. You call it Titanic. You go the exact same route. I'm good. I'll wait till the second voyage, then I'll get on it.
Was that April 12th, wasn't that?
April 12th, 1914.
1912.
I thought it was April 14th. Wait. It's either April 12th, 1914, or April 14th, 1912. And there was like 1,202 people that died?
Roughly. In the water alone.
Yeah, they're not sure on the body count.
Yeah, it was a lot.
That's crazy.
I wouldn't be surprised.
The weird thing is, though, is there's a lot of misconceptions about like that, too.
The 15th April of 1912.
Damn it. It's one day off.
Close. We were close. So I wouldn't be surprised if ships that went over that... that area where the Titanic sunk, I've had paranormal experiences.
See, I wonder if there's ever been, like paranormal sightings of the Titanic, you know? Because I also wonder if that was out in the... if they were in part of the Bermuda Triangle. You know, there's all those... because, you know, Bermuda Triangle is technically off the coast of Florida, right? Like,
mm-hmm. Yep.
Like, I think it's near Miami or Palm Beach. It's right there on our coast. Like, you can walk out into the Bermuda Triangle, I believe. But there's supposedly a lot of crazy paranormal stuff with the Bermuda Triangle. A guy supposedly found underwater pyramids there and found this, like, weird glass orb that if you look into certain lights, you can see three pyramids in it that look like the Great Pyramids. I mean, there's a lot of weird paranormal stuff with that. But it all ties to energy, though. I think that's the thing, man. Paranormal. Just like with Bigfoot, man. People, they're like, oh, I didn't even know it was there. I looked over because I felt the hair stand up on my back. But why? But why? I mean, you know it was there. So, like, what all of a sudden, unless you were making a hoax, why all of a sudden did you... well, I felt it. Well, how did you feel it? It's like, I don't know what it is about energy. Like, energy's a huge part. You know? Just like, what was that? It's an old tale of this woman or man that used to talk to, or thought she was getting, like, airwaves of dead relatives. Like, over a ham radio and was communicating with them, but they knew stuff that... you know, that's why she believed it was true, because they only knew stuff that they would know. But, like, well, why? Well, because I felt it. Well, how do you... same thing with aliens, man. Like, people, like... oh,
like
I feel
like people
it.
That claim to be abducted?
Yeah. They always talk about, like, feeling stuff, and, like... you know, they don't remember much of it. They remember feeling things, but they don't... it's all tied to energy, and that's the weirdest thing about it. Like, what if it's all just, like, one giant magnet or something that's just, like, messing with our brains to where we're hallucinating? I mean, look at electromagnetic pulses. You got those. Those make people paranoid. They make you feel like you're seeing stuff if you're sensitive to it. Make you throw up. Make you feel like you're seeing things.
Mm-hmm. Maybe that's our brain trying to compensate.
Maybe. Maybe paranormal is just us viewing into terrors of other universes.
Maybe.
Maybe ghosts are people since time is linear and we created it. Maybe ghosts are just, like, us looking into, like... because our time period's not the same as that time period, we're seeing into the 1800s, because the 1800s is happening in a different universe, because that's how string theory technically works.
Right.
And if that's the case, then I feel bad for them, because they're looking at us and be like, did you see that weird-dressed guy? He just walked by us! He said something! I think he said fought! He asked me if I was here. I tried to answer, he didn't answer back! Like, what if we're communicating through terrors and universes? Like, maybe ghosts aren't dead people. Maybe it's other universes.
That reminds me of the game Bioshock.
Kind of. It does. It kind of did use that for Bioshock. Because
basically the DLCs are just tears.
They're
in the universe
in different dimensions. Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about that until you just mentioned that.
Yeah.
I mean, like, and it leads to other examples. Like, when you die in dreams, maybe that's you seeing yourself die in other dimensions. I mean, if everything has its own reaction and opposite reaction to be physically accurate... dragons do exist in some other dimension. So if you're having a dream where you're riding a dragon or get fire blown at you while you're fighting one, it might be happening in another dimension. So, like, paranormal is really weird. And I think eventually we'll get to scientifically prove what the hell it is and what it ties to. But as far as, I don't know, the cryptozoological things are always going to be weird because you always get sightings, but nobody has the proof. The closest, most believable picture I've seen is the Florida skunk ape. And it does. It looks like a giant orangutan just sitting there behind a bush like, this lady's taking a picture of me. I should probably go somewhere.
It's like, oh, hey, call me. Do you need refreshments?
But it does. It has the face of an orangutan. Like, it's got that, I think it's an orangutan. It's got that big bloated face that, you know, and it's the most, like, known. But every other one is the hoax. Loch Ness Monster. There's never been real any sightings. I mean, there's been sightings, but there's never been any real proof.
Mm-hmm. The Mothman, Chupacabra.
There's been pictures of the Mothman. If they're real or not, I don't know. But, I mean, there's been, like, there's a whole road in Jersey that's apparently, like, the most haunted world. Like, you know, they have their own, like, Mothman and stuff out there. Like, there's places that got some things, but nobody seems to have pictures to prove anything. And if they are, they're really shoddy. Like, you know, like the Leech Mansion. Yeah. I had a friend swear to me he's got proof of a Native American spirit in the Leech Mansion. Yes, he looks like an orangutan. Looks just like an escaped orangutan, but nobody's missing an orangutan.
Hey guys, how you doing?
And she's like, I was like, oops.
Surprise.
But like, nobody's missing a giant orangutan. That's not something that just goes missing that people are like, I think I might have had a giant orangutan at one point. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure I had one. I mean, the cage is there.
How do you not notice that it's gone if you have one of those?
That's what I'm saying. Nobody's, unless you, because they're illegal to have without permits, unless somebody's like, yeah, I can't come forward and say I lost a giant orangutan.
It's not like it's a freaking python. Oh, it's too big for me. I better let it go in the Everglades.
Yeah, then we're getting super, super giant.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. You have pythons out there eating gators.
Yeah.
That's scary.
Yeah.
Gators are now starting to climb trees and hunt from trees. What the? I mean, that's not paranormal. That's like evolution. But it's still like, good. But then again, stuff like that, evolution and things like that, I think tie into paranormal stuff. Cryptozoology, especially. Like, I mean, I don't believe that there's like a sentient being that's like, yeah, I'm just going to keep hiding from everybody. You know, because I'm a giant ape. They won't understand. Like, I don't think it's like Harry and the Hendersons. You know, I don't. You know, unless there is a family out there that like we hit this dude, he's now our roommate. Like that'd be cool. I would love to have Harry and the Hendersons happen. That was an awesome movie. But I realistically, like in the Abominable Snowman, in the Himalayan mountains, there supposedly is a species, a rare species of giant like gorilla that lives in the Himalayas, and that started from the Well, I saw this ape-like human creature, you know, up in the mountains. No, you saw this endangered species, is what it was. And then, you know, that's possible, too. But then again, like, even if we haven't seen it, there's been so many sightings that maybe we should put some of these, like, maybe the Bigfoot, maybe Bigfoot should be on the endangered species list, you know, to protect it from some redneck hunter, like, I just shot Bigfoot! Like, you don't need that. Like, I'm not even joking, you don't need that. You just killed, like, the last of a species, possibly. Good for you. That would be horrible. Like, well, we found Bigfoot, and we made him extinct all in the same day. Like, that'd be horrible. Like, if it's some rare endangered species, and yeah, just because for not even shits and giggles, it doesn't cost extra to protect it. Mm-hmm. And just showing that if somebody does shoot it, that person should face jail time. And that's, I mean, like, because seriously, there could be endangered species of apes, and there could be, like, evolved things that we don't know. The jungle alone in Brazil, like, South America and the Brazilian areas and all the rainforests and all that stuff, we don't know what's out there. Man, we've got people that have taken pictures flying over places of like, humans. Humans that we didn't know were there. Like, Holmes Spears, like, looking at planes like, what is that? Why is that? Is there something in the sky? And what they're thinking is what we would think. Like, oh, there's a dragon, or there's something in the sky. That's how legends are created for that.
Yep.
You know? Mm-hmm. So, but, I mean, the weird thing is, though, like, cryptozoologically, there are certain things that don't make sense. And that have too much coincidence to be coincidence. Or coincidences. Wait. They have too many coincidences to be coincidence. Like dragons.
Chupacabra? Oh, no. Like the Mandela effect. There you go. Mm. So many coincidences with that.
There's too many things. Yeah. Then that's kind of the way I look at things. And that's why I'm not fully skeptic with hauntings, with cryptozoology, with aliens. There's too many things out there to be coincidental, to be like
a coincidence.
There's somebody that said like, if there's too much of one thing, then is then it's not, the coincidences aren't possible.
Like, a prime example would be, okay, controller. It's a controller. It's too much of a coincidence to be anything else.
Yeah.
But it's a controller.
We all identify it as a controller, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's there.
Can't be coincidence. Because we all see it as a controller. But if you saw that controller as something other than a controller, and you processed it as something other than a controller...
You're going to have to cut this down, because we're, like, ranting and raving over here. But this is kind of what we said the first episode was going to be. It's just, like, our beliefs and touching on topics that...
Yeah. We were doing fine. We'll cut some stuff out, don't worry.
No, we're doing... I still think we're doing fine.
But, yes, I mean... Go on, an hour and 28 minutes.
But look at Aliens. So many people have seen Aliens. The descriptions are almost always identical.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's things that I don't want to touch on it, but I do want to touch on it because it's my belief. But it's dealing with certain like theologies, maybe that like maybe certain gods aren't exactly gods, but maybe alien species from the past. You know, like I mean, if a big four-armed elephant showed up from the sky, because that's where all gods come from, is the sky. I'd probably think it's some sort of, like, amazing being.
Yeah, it goes to the Stargate. The movie Stargate.
I'm not bringing up science fiction shows.
I'm just saying. Because we're all...
I've never seen that movie.
That kind of reminds
that
me
That movie looked boring to me when I was a kid, and I just never watched it since.
When you were saying that, the first thing that came to my mind was the Egyptian gods.
Yeah, cats! Yeah. Giant cats!
Well, not just
no.
that.
Well,
no,
most of cats. They had different gods for each different thing. Like,
well, yeah,
Ra was for the sun, but he had
we shouldn't go
like
into this. I don't want to alienate or turn fans off, you know. So I don't want to go into religious stuff.
Yeah, I understand.
But I mean, like, as far as aliens do go, there's been cave drawings that have shown aliens that look like the same aliens that we still deal with today, with the big head, big eyes, small bodies, probing people. I mean, I don't know what you said. I'm sure it's probably not. Anyway. But it's the same thing with dragons, man.
Let's just say Cartman.
Well, no, it's the same thing with dragons, though. I believe dragons did exist at one point. You know why? Because there's too many sightings of them that are exactly the same descriptions on both Chinese side in medieval side, to be like, oh no, that didn't exist. It's just a fairy tale. Like fairy tales, if you look at descriptions of fairy tales, even fictional ones,
mm-hmm.
creatures have like very, very different descriptions. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's that writer's take on it. But when it comes to certain things, Bigfoot always looks the same. Loch Ness Monster supposedly always looks the same. Aliens always look the same with subtle differences, like different species of aliens. Dragons.
Fairies.
Leprechauns.
No, see, those I do believe in, but I don't believe that they're in America. I do believe that there's some sort of thing in Europe, but if you go over there and do like research on the lore, leprechauns are not friendly, and neither are fairies. Fairies are bad.
Yes.
Yeah, I wouldn't mess with those. I mean, but the descriptions are always the same, though.
Getting
you're right.
More into cryptozoology.
Huh?
Getting more into cryptozoology.
Well, yeah, but that's the thing. This is what we're talking about. This is what we're going over our beliefs in these things of paranormal. And it's paranormal's not just ghosts and spirits and things that haunt. I mean, I will say everything that's paranormal usually is a bump in the night situation, because for some reason paranormal is always at night.
Yeah.
Mm. And here's another question I have about ghosts. Why don't I ever hear about ghosts of, like, modern time? Like, you're not like, yeah, that dude was dressed like a 1980s rapper. He just walked through the house, grabbed a 40, and walked out. Like, I don't know, Like,
That reminds me, I was reading something about, it's funny, that reminds me of, you know Al Capone?
Yes.
Was it in Orlando? He had some kind
Miami.
Of house. Yeah, Miami. Yeah. He had a house down in Miami, and people claim that it's haunted.
My dad doesn't believe in ghosts, and my dad said him and his brothers used to sneak out and go down there to the dock area where that house was, and he would see what looked like lights of people taking stuff, where they would smuggle stuff to his docks. And it looked like they were still smuggling stuff, even though the house was abandoned.
Really?
Yeah. I believe it's still standing.
Yeah, I think it is, too.
So, apparently, he also had... There's a place in Fort Pierce that's an antique shop on a hill. Apparently, he also had a bootlegging outlet through that, too, through, like, these tunnels under it. Hmm. And he was one of the ones that was in charge of that, but that's never been proven, either. Just like they said that the...
I think something like that's hard to prove.
Well, it is. And it's just, like, the theory of the Leech Mansion, like, it just kind of sounds too much bullshit to be real. Which, the Leech Mansion supposedly, like, housed spies that were, like, undercover Nazis, but they weren't really Nazis. You know, like...
You're a Nazi, but you're not a Nazi.
Yeah, like, this would be their home base, like, when they came back, to keep them safe. Like, that's bullshit. Just, like, you know, I've done so much research on that place that there's no reason for it to be haunted. It was built for the Coca-Cola heiress. She went through one hurricane and was like, screw this shit, I'm going back up north. And, like, she sold it and it became a nunnery, and then it became, like, an IT school or a tech school or vice versa. And then it was abandoned for years. And I used to hang out there as a kid. There was one time where, when I was about 17 or 18, we got really lucky because we found, like, a full bar of liquor. Like, just, like, sitting there. And I think that, like, people had brought stuff for a party and just never came back or almost got caught. So we're like, grab everything you see, we're getting out of here. Like, we did. We grabbed, like, there was bottles of, like, Jack and stuff like that lying around. There was Jameson. There was, like, there's a bunch of different bottles and stuff. I'm like, yay! There was Coke. There was Sprite. There was just, like, everything there. No, not Coke Vanilla.
Oh.
No, it's regular Coke. There's 2-liter bottles. And they were, like, but they were, like, unopened. Like, there were some bottles open. I was like, ah, maybe we shouldn't touch those.
Snatch and grab.
We shouldn't take the open bottles, you know? Hey, anybody feel funny? Is anybody seeing things? I'm seeing things. But yeah, I think somebody was going to have a party there and either got caught the night before or whatever and, like, just, you know, booked it. Because there was, like, all these unopened bottles, like, almost a bar full of unopened bottles of liquor just, like, sitting there. And I'm like, yay. And then as a teenager...
You're a kid at a candy store.
Yeah, as a teenager, like, yay, bad choices! And then, but there's also paranormal stuff that we supposedly have multiple things in Florida other than Skunk Ape that are on the beaches. Apparently there's, like, a cult or something of these people that dress in cloaked, like, they dress in cloaks. I've seen them with, I think, Lance. I think it was me and Lance saw them. We were out on the beach, and they're like, anybody hear that, like, that chanting? And Lance is like, I hear that. What is that? I'm like, I don't know, because we were on the boardwalk area, right? Where, you know, you sit on the benches, because we'd sit there and chain smoke and drink. And I was like, I hear it. I hear this chanting. And everybody's like, I don't hear it, but I think Lance heard it. And I'm like, I can't remember who else was there. So we, like, get up, and we walk towards the beach, and we look down, and there's, like, these guys walking in line with torches, like, chanting in these black cloaks. And I'm like, I don't want to stick around to find out what these guys are doing here. I'm going back this way. So we left. But supposedly, some other people that were around here I was telling them the story. They're like, okay, so that's weird. Because I was sitting out there smoking in my car, and all of a sudden, there's loud banging sound on the top of my car. And I look out the window, and I don't see anything. And I see this, like... this hand come down with a noose, and this guy gets off my car in a cloak, and he's like, I was gone. I don't know if I hit the dude. I was just gone. I wasn't going to pay. Like, there was a guy on top of my car banging on it, and then he dropped the noose down by my window. I was not, like, not messing with that. So I don't know who these guys are. They're probably just, like, these weird cosplayer kids. Like, you know, they're out there LARPing, like, fireball, fireball. But then they're like, oh, God, these people are going to think we're, like, just nerds. Like, be ominous. I don't know what it was, but it was creepy, and other people have backed it up. Supposedly, there's these cloaked people that creep people out. Maybe they just do it for fun. I don't know. And then, like, we were out there on the beach that one time near that hotel that's abandoned.
Oh, yeah.
And saw some weird stuff. So, beaches. I mean, they're by water. Water does what now? It produces energy. So, I don't know. Once again, full circle. Paranormal. Energy. It's always energy. There's always energy to prove.
Same with just regular science, too.
So that's what we need to figure out. We need to figure out how to harness energy and figure out how to utilize it to recreate hauntings and stuff like that. Because obviously, energy is causing this, so how do we make it happen? Like, that's kind of where I would like to go with paranormal studies. Eventually be able to manipulate energy to make things happen. Sort of like in the scene of Beetlejuice, where they finally make them come out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the gap, but I don't want them to die like that. I don't want to be like a tragic death. I just want to see it and be able to capture it on camera. They're like, okay, you can go back to haunting things now. I don't want to be like, oh, I killed Lydia's best friends.
What was that one show with the two brothers that had the paranormal show where they, like, did it very scientifically? Can't remember of it, but where they actually, like,
was this an actual, like, paranormal show, or is this, like, a fictional show?
No, it was an actual paranormal show.
Are you talking about the two big guys that were like, they were ex-cops?
Yeah. Yeah, them.
Ghost Police? I don't know. I can't remember. I know what you're talking about. It was a good show. It lasted like two seasons, got canceled.
Yeah.
But they did. They were able to. There was a plantation house they did that was near a river.
Yeah.
They built these sensors that were able to detect the energy come up from the water to point out, or like, to points that where they were getting like communication happening, that they were able to pinpoint. Like when they'd ask a question, energy would spike these little sensors up the walkway from the river, or not the walkway, but their little thing that they made with these sensors, and would hit their location with it. So yeah, they were able to kind of prove that energy is. But how do you harness it though? I mean rivers tragedy. That's apparently a thing, but
you'd have to have something big enough to harness some type of energy. But I'm trying to think of what it would be.
A toaster filled with slime. The lady, the Statue of Liberty.
Yes. Indeed.
No. We will have fun on the show. We will joke sometimes, but for the most part, it is a serious show. I think we kind of gotten pretty much every point across that we were supposed to get across. I didn't really go into my experiences, but I'll wait. I mean,
episode two.
No, episode two. We've got episode two as of right now. There were certain topics we had written down, and you and me had discussed them, and I haven't been able to get to you. I wanted to kind of talk about the black-eyed children, because not many people actually cover that phenomenon, which is also, if I don't know if you know what that is a weird phenomenon that is occurring.
I've heard
more of it. And more so now than ever. Then there was a few other things that we wanted to talk about, but not, like the Mandela effect is one of them, but that, like I said, that kind of seems like one that would take a whole hour special on its own. Right. So yeah, there's going to be specials and stuff coming up, and then eventually we'll get back into investigating, and then you as listeners, hopefully if we have some by then, we'll actually want to, you know, see what we're doing. And we could, we could figure out possibly how to live stream from our investigations,
yes.
I mean, I don't know how we do that, because we won't have internet, but...
Hotspots.
Yeah, we would have to use hotspots, use our phones.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, and there's a lot of stuff coming from Bump of the Night Paranormal Radio. do either of you have anything else to add to tonight's episode? Tonight's episode.
Not necessarily for me, since I already sprung up the whole live streaming thing that I want to do with you.
Well, that's fun.
I think I would just like to say that I think that if we are dead serious about doing this, we've already had our mindset that this is exactly what we're going to do. I think that we can take this as far as we can go.
I mean, eventually I would like to start, well, hopefully soon, actually. I want to start a Patreon, see if we can actually maybe bring in some money for new equipment. I mean, everything that we try to raise money-wise will not be going into our pockets or anything like that. It'll be going towards equipment. Merchandise for you guys. If you are interested in merchandise, mostly probably be designed by me, drawing-wise.
Mm-hmm.
Christian, too, if he wants to add his art to it. Patrick, I don't know if you dabble in the art of drawing. You're more of the resident writer.
Yeah, I'm a writer. I'm more of a writer than a drawer.
So,
draw to save my life.
Just like 8-Bit has their Facebook page, we'll have our own Facebook page for this. I think we'll add articles and things like that.
We already have a Facebook page.
Well, okay. But I mean, like, we'll get it back up and running properly. Yes. We'll dust the cobwebs off. We'll kick out Mr. Chicken. There's no real ghost there.
In fact, that's probably what we're going to be doing right after the show.
We'll have, hopefully, articles. We're going to have weekly news segments, I believe, on things that are happening this week in paranormal. So we'll find different things to cover. So, yeah, I mean, this was just kind of like an ad-libbed
intro.
Yeah. It will be more structured going forward. And it was kind of hard to structure this because, once again, we didn't know exactly what our experiences were and beliefs were. So now that you listeners know what we have planned, there's a lot more to come. So stick around. I'm Matthew Ferry.
I'm Christian.
You want to give your last name?
Sakara.
It's more professional that way.
Patrick Palella.
And this is Bump of the Night Paranormal Radio. Hope you guys enjoyed this random show. And hope you guys come back for episode two and beyond. And then hopefully you'll get in touch with us. Tell us your experiences. Give us topics to talk about.
Leave comments.
Yeah.
Comment. You can find us on Twitter. Obviously, this is probably going to be on YouTube. We'll have all that information in the description, as well as pinned as the top comment. So,
tell us, right. Tell us what you like. Tell us what you didn't like. Tell us what...
Don't mention the randomness. Like I said, it'll be more structured.
Tell us what you think we should cover or get into detail more of. You found it.
I do. I already have a... I don't want to give, like, a shout-out of a name because I don't know if she'd be okay with that. She's one of my regulars at work. She comes in and we always talk about paranormal. She's got some things that she wants me to, like, talk about, go into. And, you know, it is beyond the different stuff that normally would be paranormal, but it's like psychic warfare and stuff like that. That, you know, it's been documented.
Because I've been telling a few coworkers about this podcast.
Nah, it's fine. No, I've been telling people too.
I was about to say I was going to give a shout out to them.
Well, I haven't gotten permission from her too, but I know she's going to be listening once I tell her this is up. And I'll give her a shout out next time. But if you want to give shout outs, it's fine. I'm just not going to give name. Because I don't know if she's okay with that. Okay. So.
Well, shout out to John at the BJ's in Jensen Beach. I told you I'd give you a shout out, bud. You're welcome.
I told you, Morty. I told you I'd do it.
Oh, Rick. Why? Why did you do it, Rick?
That's as far as, like, the joke will go on that. But, anyway. This has been Bumping the Night Paranormal Radio. Once again, I'm Matthew Ferry.
I'm Christian Scara.
Patrick Palella.
Good night and have a wonderfully haunted evening.
Stay frosty, guys.
Ciao.